WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Vince Kong, and this is Redux. It's March 10th. On this episode of Redux, we'll look at poverty on the First Coast. In Duval County, roughly a third of families here live on an income lower than what's known as a survival budget. Then there is the city's homeless population, which has grown to more than 3,000 this year. We have an open letter from a homeless woman to Mayor Lenny Curry about how the city treats those without shelter. And homelessness isn't exclusive to the urban core. We'll also look at what one organization is doing at the beaches to help those most in need help themselves. But first, some news on this episode of Redux. Here's an update from one of our previous reports. The Jacksonville Jaguars are submitting a proposal for redeveloping downtown's former Shipyards property into a mixed-use residential and entertainment district. WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride has a report from the team's annual State of the Franchise address.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan teed up the project by linking it to his team.
As goes downtown Jacksonville, so goes the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, we are one. What's good for downtown is good for the Jaguars.
Renderings of the development proposal show features like an overhead park similar to New York's High Line, along with a floating dock and kayak launch. Metropolitan Park across from the stadium would be replaced with a high-end hotel, and green space would be concentrated to the west near A. Philip Randolph Boulevard, says team president Mark Lamping. It would have cost millions of dollars to clean up the area's ground contamination for development.
We all know that there are some environmental issues below the surface in the Shipyards area. And as long as you don't go below the surface, you don't have to worry about what's below. That's the perfect place to put a park.
2 years ago, Khan proposed redeveloping the Shipyards, but the plans were thrown out due to the cost of cleanup. Also in the proposal are other mixed-use buildings and residential units. Jaguar's submission came in on the city's deadline for Shipyards proposals. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
Along with the Jaguars' plan, two other proposals have come in, but the city has declined to elaborate on the specifics until after they've decided. Interesting. Now, for those in Jacksonville this weekend, for the largest 15K in the country, the 40th annual Gate River Run, good luck. And for those who happen to live in the neighborhoods impacted by the race, well, good luck to you also. As part of this weekend's festivities is the Move It 5K, which is sponsored by the Cowford Chop House. While the restaurant is still months away from opening, Jack Klimpf, the restaurant's owner, has made quite a name for himself here in the River City with his restaurants, including Bistro X and Il Desco, becoming eating destinations. In this business brief, analyst John Burr caught up with Klimpf late last year about selling his family's other business, Dixie Egg. He shared his interview with WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
So it's Forking Amazing. It's that's the name of the restaurant group.
That's it. They own Ovente, Bistro X, probably best known right now for renovating the Coxwell Building, downtown Jacksonville. That's going to open as the Cowford Chop House in 2017.
That's a project that keeps getting pushed back a little bit, but it's opening sometime next year.
Yes, sometime next year. There's no firm deadline, but it will be open in 2017.
Where did Mr. Klimpf get his start in business in Jacksonville?
Well, the Klimpf family, they've been in the egg business for generations. Klimpf's grandfather was an egg candler who immigrated to the U.S. in the 1920s from Poland. That's a guy who holds an egg up to a candle to inspect it.
Okay, a candler, that's the thing. I thought you said handler, but candler.
Candler, okay. Right. And his dad got into the egg business in Wisconsin and eventually in Jacksonville, and Klimpf himself started in the business at his father's Dixie Egg Company in Jacksonville in 1978. Actually, Klimpf's start in the business came a little earlier in life.
When I was 8 years old, you know, I had a little red wagon, and I distributed eggs in the neighborhood. and I sold the eggs. They were jumbo eggs, and I sold them for 75 cents a dozen, and I bought them for 65 cents a dozen. I made 10 cents a dozen.
Turns out that Jacques, like his dad, was pretty good in the egg business. When he joined Dixie Egg Company in 1978, it was doing about 10 to 12 million a year in sales. Last year, their sales were over 100 million, with 300 employees in three different states. So at 59, he's decided to sell the company to Calmaine. It's a nationally publicly traded food company. They have the money, the resources to grow this egg business to a bigger level. Calmaine is also pledged to keep all of Dixie's employees on, which Kumpf says was a big factor in his decision to sell.
I've got a lot of employees that have been with me 30 years, 35 years, 20 years, 25 years. You know, they've given their life here. So it was real important for me to make sure they were able to keep their jobs.
So with the egg business sold, he's focusing on his restaurants?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, his oldest daughter, Alexandria, is now president of BAM Investments, which includes all the restaurants and some other businesses. It's funny because when he talks about how much money he spent renovating that downtown building on Bay Street into the Chop House, you can almost see him shudder about it. It's over $6 million he spent. But you can also sense the pride he feels in helping bring back the downtown area.
Jacksonville is my home. I was born here. I remember a bustling downtown. And I'm looking forward to this next part of my life and helping develop that Calford. We were there this morning, and I mean, with the second floor and third floors in, and it's going to be a really special opportunity, I think, and landmark for Jacksonville.
WJCT business analyst John Burr spoke with Jacques Klempf. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
Now we begin our reports on poverty on the First Coast. Starting things off, a Jacksonville homeless woman is speaking out about the city's treatment of those who live without shelter. WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride sat down with her to find out why she recently wrote to Mayor Lenny Curry and the city council.
Wendy Jenkins is spending Thursday morning at Hemming Park. It's where she normally goes after waking up and then again after breakfast at Clara White Mission. She used to stay in shelters, but says they feel like prison.
I sleep on the street. I have a hidey hole spot.
And how, how's that been lately?
Hey, it's not bad. I have a sleeping bag and a lot of blankets, and it's weatherproof, so I don't have to worry about the rain, and it's not bad.
Jenkins is a 48-year-old mom. On this chilly morning, she's wearing a fuzzy pink, orange, and purple scarf. She says she used to work construction.
My boyfriend of 14 years had a stroke in March of 2015. He lost his job. We couldn't afford to pay the bills on one income and ended up on the street.
Since then, they've split up and she's been on her own. She's sitting on the cement ledge of a raised flower bed.
This right here, where we're sitting at, used to have benches right here.
She says that was before park management made changes.
So then everybody starts sitting on these little concrete walls and they start putting up these little white picket fences so you can't sit on them.
In her letter to city officials titled, Here's Your Solution to Hemming Park, Jenkins ended with, Stop pushing us away and help us. She wrote it after city council this month made it easier for police to ban people who break park rules.
I just felt in my heart it's just wrong.
Jenkins wants the city to bring back the Downtown Day Resource Center. It was opened for the homeless as a one-year pilot that was extended a year, then closed in 2015 when the city stopped funding it.
Because you could go in there and take a shower, you could sit there and watch a movie if the weather was bad.
Jacksonville's Changing Homelessness CEO Don Gilman says Jenkins' feelings toward the center are widely felt.
They liked it. They thought that it helped them. It was a place for them to go. And about 50% of the persons that went there were connected to some kind of services that they hadn't been connected to before.
But she says most of its services were provided by other shelters, which have started offering more times to shower. Plus, she says just as many people hung out in Hemming Park when it was open, and it didn't meet one of its stated goals of lowering crime downtown. Gilman says people like Jenkins, who are single and middle-aged, have the fewest homeless services available to them because so much funding is directed toward veterans and disabled people.
How do we fairly quickly rehouse those people with moderate barriers? How do we quickly reconnect them to a job and income and get them back into a place that they can maintain in less than 90 days.
There aren't any city proposals to reopen the center.
Where do you place it? And how do you fund it?
A few weeks ago, Jenkins found out she qualifies for housing assistance from a nonprofit, but now she's on a wait list. Her main motivation for permanent shelter, she says, is her son's wife is expecting a baby.
I can't do this anymore. I don't want to be on the street anymore. I want my grandbaby to come see me.
Her full letter to city officials is at WJCTnews.org. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
Fewer Duval County families are living on the verge of poverty. That's according to the United Way's 2017 ALICE study. Michelle Braun is the head of the United Way of Northeast Florida.
ALICE is an acronym that stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed, what we used to call the working poor. These are folks who are working hard but having a hard time making ends meet.
Braun says ALICE is a more realistic measure of poverty than the official levels set by the federal government in 1965. She says the ALICE study is a county-by-county assessment of how much money a household needs for essentials like housing, food, childcare, and transportation. Braun calls it a survival budget. In Duval County, she says,
one person, a single adult, would need to have $19,416 to survive, and a family of two adults, one infant and one preschooler, requires $52,692.
Braun says a little more than a third of Duval County families have incomes below that level. While those numbers appear high, that's an improvement from 2015 when 43% of families were struggling to survive. Coming up.
Students say, well, we have to work in order to pay for college. The FSCJ promise is the answer.
Find out more about the FSCJ promise next. But first, when we think about homelessness in Jacksonville, mostly the focus is on places like Hemming Park and other downtown locations. But homelessness isn't just a problem in the urban core. At the beaches, the face of homelessness has changed dramatically over the years. Mission House Executive Director Lori Delgado Anderson joined host Melissa Ross on First Coast Connect to explain.
You know, what is homelessness like at the beach? It's a little bit calmer than downtown. It's a little bit safer than downtown, and I know they're improving that. We have people who have come, actually, from downtown. They've been at the beach. Some are at the beach because it's a beautiful place to be. Especially in the summertime, we see a younger crowd, many young, early 20s homeless men and women. We've seen an uptick of women in the last few years. Our break is about 70-30, 70% men and 30% women.
Anderson said the main objective of her organization is simply to get folks off the street as quickly as possible and into their own homes.
The rapid rehousing was something that we implemented almost 2 years ago, and that's housing first. And some people might think that's crazy because you're taking a risk, and you are. But I tell people it's so much easier to get up from your own bed than from the woods to go find a job or even to go to a job. Also, because we are such a small and tight community at the beach, when you put 800 Shedder, which is our address and our clients are able to use that address, employers will look at it and say, oh, this guy is homeless, he's a bum, and may not even look at his skills. When they put 123 Main Street, then they start looking at their skills and they look at the person and not their homeless status.
You can hear the entire interview on the Redux page at WJCTnews.org. You can also download the First Coast Connect podcast on your favorite podcast app. And finally, here's a bit of good news for those just looking for a little bit of help financially. Florida State College at Jacksonville is committing to paying tuition and fees for first-time students seeking an associate's degree. The new program is called the FSCJ Promise, and as WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride reports, the State College plans to cover up to 1,000 new students each year.
The Promise program is designed to help lower-income students get an associate's degree without debt. FSCJ will help fund the first 2 years of tuition, books, and fees for students after federal, state, and local aid doesn't meet their needs. Here's what students have to qualify. Graduate from a Nassau or Duval County school in the last 3 years. It has to be their first year of college, and they have to go full-time. They also have to qualify for a Pell Grant. That's determined by how much money their family makes and can contribute. FSCJ President Cynthia Bioto says right now 80% of students are going part-time.
We want students to go full-time, but so many of our students say, well, we have to work in order to pay for college. The FSCJ Promise is the answer for you to come full-time and finish your degree.
Meanwhile, national data shows students who go full-time are more likely to complete their associates. Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry says this program reinforces his vision for the city.
It aligns with my public safety goals. It aligns with economic opportunity. It aligns with one city, one Jacksonville.
President Bioto says her college is funding the Promise by redirecting unused scholarship money and private donations. Funding the Promise is among the goals of the school's $50 million capital campaign. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
And that's our show. To read more about the stories you heard today, visit wjctnews.org. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you download podcasts. Also, all this month, we're asking you to pick a friend, a relative, a coworker, pretty much anyone you care about who doesn't listen to podcasts, and show them the way. Now tell the world via social media what podcasts you recommend with the hashtag TryPod. That's T-R-Y-Pod. I'm Vince Kong, and thanks for spreading the word.